Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to the gospel meeting. There was just two points I would like to make. One is, Brother Daryl mentioned this morning, I probably somewhat guilty for the busyness of the day today, so I certainly appreciated the fellowship of this morning and the ministry and the meal, all the effort that went forth, so much appreciated. Secondly, I don't think I've ever spoken with a brother in the gospel and had a small argument with him before we spoke. Typically, I would speak first out of respect for someone who is a full-time preacher of the work. However, he reminded me that I'm older than him, so we all know that now, that I'm older than our brother Leslie, and that's why I'm going second. He's reminded us about the need of God's salvation. Ye must be born again. And I would think that most here this evening have heard that message before. And when I was asked earlier today if I would help in the gospel this evening, the message that I feel the Lord laid upon my heart is a message personally that I would rather not give, because it's going to be a message of warning. We say the gospel is good news. That's what it stands for. It's good news. So how can something that is good news have warnings in it? Well, we spent time this summer on Prince Edward Island. We spent time at the beach and on the North Shore, especially if you're swimming. I can enjoy the beautiful beaches, the warm weather, all the things of the beaches on Prince Edward Island. But there is warning signs as well. Don't swim in the riptide. So I can enjoy things about it, but there is warnings that go with it. Now, our brother mentioned earlier about police and speeding. Perhaps every time he gets caught, he gets a ticket. But I don't know about you, but in the past, I've tried to sweet talk my way out of it. And for instance, let's say if I was going through the town of O'Leary and the speed limit's 50, and I'm going 65, and I get pulled over, I might say, I'm from away, I'm trying to follow signs, but I'm not really aware. And if I do, you know, don't argue. I don't want to give you too many tips here, but anyway, he might come back and say, sir, respectfully, I'm going to give you a warning this time, but just don't do it again. I don't know what it is here. It's like $284 or something for a fine, right? It's a warning. Now, I could say, well, if you continue to speed, you're probably going to get speeding tickets. You're probably going to lose your license. So we really live with warnings all the time, don't we? If you're skating in the wintertime, you play hockey, you can have lots of fun on the ice, but there is a warning. Do not skate on thin ice. Right? So I'm going to preach tonight, and what's laid upon my heart, I feel, is a warning. It's a message from the Word of God. And it's really to those who have probably heard the gospel a number of times. And there are some here, when we had a prayer meeting before this gospel meeting, there was a number of names mentioned. So I'm going to have to think that because there was names mentioned in prayer for salvation, that there are those here this evening who have heard the gospel often and still are not saved. Our brother Leslie laid it out very clear how one can be saved. And yet tonight you're sitting here and you're not saved. You're not born again. You don't know your sins forgiven. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, so we know the Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross, without the shedding of blood, there's no remittance of sin. So blood shed is required for sin. Now, I don't know why God picked blood for the forgiveness of sins. There's other things, perhaps some fruit or vegetables or whatever, but no. God picked blood. I don't know why. When you think about it, it might appear gruesome. It might appear to be something that you're not comfortable with, but God is very good. The God that created heaven and earth, the God that created us, it's his universe. Some of us feel it's our universe or it's my universe. The world revolves around me, but God says, no, I created the universe. I created the plan of salvation. I created you, And because of sin, because of your free will and your desire to sin and your love for sin, it is so severe. It is so severe that I am going to make you, in the Old Testament especially, we saw the examples where they had to offer an animal, had to watch that animal be sacrificed to shed that blood, because when they saw that animal give its life for my sin, it's like, that's serious. That animal had to die because of my sin. God required that sacrifice. That's, my sin is serious business to God. It required a life given and blood shed. So our first reading here this evening is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. So this is the warning message that is found in this verse, verse 29, Hebrews 10, verse 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in a holy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's turn back to Exodus, book of Exodus, chapter 12. This is the story of the Passover. I'm not going to read the whole story, but if you remember the story where they put the blood on the two sides of the door and on the top of the door, in Exodus chapter 12, and reading that verse 21, Exodus 12, verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop. It's like a branch of leaves. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. There are things that we find in Scripture that are constant. When God says, God so loved the world, that means he loves each and every one of us the same. He doesn't love one country, one nationality more than the other. When God says, for all have sinned, it doesn't mean that someone's sin is going to be greater than another's. It means we have all sinned. It doesn't mean some have sinned, some haven't. All have sinned. And so in Scripture, there are things that God would tell us that he is constant, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we also know in Scripture, and especially when we get to the book of Hebrews, where it speaks about a better covenant or a better sacrifice, a better tabernacle, a better high priest. And here we have, in this verse in Hebrews that we read, sore punishment. Let's just break that down for those that might understand. We all know what punishment is. A punishment is because of something that you have done wrong. And when I see that word sore there, it means that there's going to be degrees of punishment. And so I finish reading the verse. I read that there's going to be degrees of punishment for those who have disrespected, it says, trodden underfoot, as it were, the blood of Christ. Now, trodden may not be a word that we use much today in our vocabulary. Some of you may have seen some videos, and I find them horrific to watch, of perhaps a young teenager in a public school or in a high school, and they're on the ground, and there's kids that are stomping on them and kicking them, all this stuff, and they're showing great disrespect and hate for that person on the ground. They're trodden, as it were, on the person on the ground. If you're to take a flag from a country and you're to walk all over it and put your feet on it and mud and dirt and all that, that's being disrespectful to the flag. And so what Hebrews 11 tells us is that there is more punishment for those who have taken the message of salvation, those who know they need to be saved, those who are told how to be saved. They've heard it often, and yet you walk out that door every Sunday night and you say, no thanks. It's disrespectful. The Bible says you're trodden underfoot, as it were, the blood of Christ. So I was trying to think of a visual, and when we read about the example in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, and I'm going to think some of you know this story, but the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt for over 400 years, and they wanted to get out. They were slaves. It was horrible there. And Moses came forth from God, and Moses spoke to the leader of Egypt, Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, no, you can't leave. And Moses said, God said, we must leave. And Pharaoh said no. And it got to the point where there was this Passover, and Moses told Pharaoh, let the children of Israel leave the land of Egypt, or there's going to be an angel go through, and the firstborn of every family is going to perish. I don't know about you, as a father or mother, and you got a message that if you don't do something, your firstborn is going to perish. Your oldest. I think most parents here, if not all parents, would do what was required. And he said, you know what you have to do? You have to take a lamb, and you have to slay that lamb, and that blood of that lamb is going to go in the basin. We read in Exodus 12, is a basin. That blood goes in the basin, and you have to take a branch and you have to put blood on the sides of the door and the top of the door. And when the angel goes through to slay the firstborn, if he sees blood on the door, he won't go into the house to slay the firstborn. Now, the visual that I wanted to create from what we have in Hebrews is that word basin. A lot of times in Scripture, it is referenced as the threshold of a door. So when you walk into a door, you step over the threshold. Some of you have been to Middle East. I have been to the land of Israel. And so I saw quite a few homes. I would think they're hundreds, if not thousands of years old. And you walk into these stone homes and you'll see a worn out pathway into the house. The threshold is worn. And the children of Israel, like I said, had been here like 400 and some years, and there's in the doorways. And so I'm going to visualize that in the doorway of the house is where the basin of blood was. And how disrespectful would it be if the father of the house, the lamb was slain, the blood is there, and he takes his boots and he just walks in and out through the door and gets the blood everywhere and does not apply the door, the blood on the sides and the top. How disrespectful is that? And the angel comes and he sees the treads of the blood all over the steps and the doorway, etc. And he looks at the door and he doesn't see anything applied to the door. That's the visual that I would like to create for you that's found in Hebrews. How much sore punishment for those who have trodden underfoot. The blood is shed. Our brother mentioned the Lord Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed. A soldier came and pierced the side of the Lord Jesus, and his blood flowed. You know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. The same way back in that day, they had to take that blood and apply it to the door. I would ask you this evening, Have you applied the blood of Christ in your life? What have you done with the blood of Christ? Is it just laying at the foot of the cross? When God says, I love the world, I love you, I gave my son for you, my son gave his life, my son shed his blood. The Father loved the Son, gave him all things. God watched his son be cruelly treated, so he wasn't even recognizable as a human being. I don't know about you, but if someone started to beat up my son or daughter, it wouldn't take me very long before I would intercede. But God stood back. There was a purpose in his son going to the cross of Calvary to shed his blood. This evening, the scripture in Hebrews remind me, for those who have heard the message of the gospel over and over and over and done nothing with it. Nothing. Tells me that the punishment of hell, the punishment of the lake of fire is going to be greater. Because you have, as it were, trodden underfoot the blood of Christ, treated it as nothing. God, who gave everything for you. We sit in an audience like this, and you know, we're comfortable in a group setting when the gospel is preached. If I was to go here and say, whoever is not saved, whoever doesn't have their sins forgiven, could you please sit in this front row here so I could preach right at you? You would probably, that would make me uncomfortable. Wouldn't you feel uncomfortable? But yet there's going to come a day when the scripture tells us that it's going to be between you and God. I'd rather sit in a chair here and face me, maybe five or six or whatever, here this evening, not saved, than face God one-on-one. Because he's going to ask the question. God is your creator. He created you for a purpose. And you've done your own thing. God gave of his son for your salvation. And you've said, no. It's between you and God. God's going to say, what did you do about my son? And what's your answer? I did nothing. I disrespected him. I didn't believe the message. I didn't think I needed it. I enjoyed my sin. I enjoyed my life. I thought I could wait till I got old. Whatever your excuse, whatever your reason is going to be, it doesn't matter, because you are now facing God in your sins and you're rejected. And the scripture tells me, and this is the part that I said earlier, is not comfortable to speak on really, but the Bible tells us that there's going to be increased punishment for those who know the truth. It's no different than if I've been warned many times flying through O'Leary. I get two or three warnings eventually. And if I keep increasing my speed, there's going to be increased penalties for that. And so we have an audience here this evening. We know there's some in our audience that are believers and you've trusted Christ. And I myself, I come from, my grandfather was an alcoholic and my father was an alcoholic. In the year that my father got saved, I was born. My life could have gone as far that way from God as for me to be able to hear about being saved and salvation. I was brought to hear the message of the gospel. It was made very clear to me that there was a God in heaven and that I was a sinner. Now, I could sit, and I was younger, and I had like little ties and little jackets, and I looked like I was a good boy. You would look at me, I think, and say, he's not a sinner. But I knew I was. And when I heard the message of salvation, in my heart, I knew about salvation, the need of salvation, knew of my sin. I'm not telling my conversion. I just want to tell you what changed in my life. But I got saved through that verse in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to me, the gift of God was what the Lord Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I heard the gospel hundreds of times before I got saved. I knew it was right, and I knew I needed to believe. And this evening, as you have heard from our brother, that you need to be saved, you need to be born again. What are you doing tonight about the blood of the Lord Jesus? The blood that was shed, have you applied it to your life? The same as an irresponsible father or mother not applying the blood on the door of their house would mean that their eldest would be killed by the angel of death back in Exodus. This evening, if you have not applied the blood of Christ to your life, the scripture is very clear. If you are not saved, you are going to hell in the lake of fire. But that's not all there is to the message of the gospel, because, as I said at the start, this is a warning. You're still alive. You're still able to make a decision for Christ, for salvation. And may it be tonight. May you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior this evening. Have your sins forgiven. Know that you're going to be in heaven. Have peace with God. And have the Lord Jesus as Lord of your life. Not you, but the Lord Jesus as the Lord of your life. And that is our prayer for this evening. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for being able to share. Sometimes the message of the gospel is difficult for us from a human perspective, as we would think of the great price that's paid, but as what comes with the great price that was paid is a responsibility to accept that message. We don't know what's keeping sinners from accepting a free gift of salvation. But Father, we thank thee that it's still being offered. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, he would desire everyone to be saved. We thank thee for your Son. Father, we thank thee for the blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. We thank thee for those who are out this evening to hear a message of the gospel, and we would ask that thou would bless it. In salvation we pray, in our Savior's name, amen.